This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 332. Can't compete with poop in a boot! Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are here live-ish. Well, for you, not live, because by the time you're hearing this on our website, it's recorded. But we're here live at PAX East 2013 with some of our nearest, dearest, and coolest fucking people that we know.
And new friends, too.
New friends! I feel so warm and loved. So we are doing our annual roundtable for PAX East 2013, and we're going to go around the table so you can find out who's with us to dish the dirt, talk nerdy to you for the next hour. Starting with...
Hi, I'm Robert, the DCD workman, and I'm an alcohol... Oh, wait, wrong meeting. I'm doing stuff for Game Zone and Prima Games here at the show, and obviously goofing off with you guys for the second year in a row.
Woo-hoo!
And like the second year in a row, I don't have any sleep.
Yeah.
Fun!
We
that
feel
to be
for
a trend for you.
Yes, let's not. Sleep is nice.
Sleep is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bobby Blackwolf. I am the editor-in-chief of Voice of Geeks Network and the host of the Bobby Blackwolf Show for almost 8 years. Why am I still doing this?
Wow.
8 years
because
later.
Because
why stop now? Yeah.
Stop now? You know.
I need to make it an even 10.
It's not that happy.
And then I can
it's
walk
cool.
away like the Hulk with the sad music.
That's the microphone now.
Doing YouTube videos. Yeah. It'll be much better.
And then he throws it on the ground.
Oh my goodness, I'm Marsha Webb. I am with the Mommy Gamers. I created the website, and we also have a podcast. And we talk about things that mommies do, but with alcohol. So
everything's better with alcohol.
Because yeah, at the end of the day, mommies need wine, because we have children that do weird things with their poop. So that's pretty much what our podcast
it's just children?
Is about.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was like our hotel rooms.
I mean, if you guys have never had a toddler, you can tune in for all the stories and the weird things that they do. They're very creative. The last one was poop in a boot, I think.
Poop in a boot.
Yeah.
That sounds like your night.
I asked my daughter why her room stunk, and she's like, it's poop, Mommy. And I'm like, well, where is the poop, honey? And she's like, in my boot. She was really poop in a boot. It was horrible. Yeah. I found it, and I was like... Oh.
I've seen poop in a side load dryer.
That's usually the side.
That was a good party.
That plus video games, and we have some wine. That's pretty much the Mommy Gamers.
Awesome. Oh, and she mentions me every show for some reason.
Every single show, and not on purpose.
Just like that DCD guy to poop in a boot.
Well.
Moving on. I don't know if I can top that.
That was before that.
I'm John Matarakia. I am with GameFlack. I've been around for quite a few years now. I know it's been years in the making for us to do a podcast together. So
finally
here. I'm glad to be here, guys. And I can't really compete with the
poop in a boot. That's why I made a website for it.
That should be the name of the episode. I mean, poop in a boot.
Oh, I've got more stories. I have a lot of kids.
We'll be here all day.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Tag, writer for the Boston Bastard Brigade. I mainly do PC games, and I'll be trolling the indie booth for most of this time. And poop in a boot. I seen poop. Like I said, I saw poop in a side load dryer. So. Interesting parties.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that wasn't from a kid.
I don't...
Somebody just got bored.
I'm not going to ask.
It was somebody.
He was
somebody's kid.
Yes.
They were not proud.
At some point in time,
crying right now.
He was a kid.
I apologize for what I've done here.
You started the morning off with poop. So I'm going to just drive right down that street. And it's called the Hershey Highway.
And
I'm hungry for lunch.
And there you have it.
Oh, wow.
That is King Baby Duck here from the Boston Bash Brigade, host of the podcast show, and one of the crazy fucking writers that you're currently seeing on the Electric Sisters EGM Now page. What, I've put up, like, what, 8 articles already on that?
Yeah, how about we stop fucking bragging?
Somebody's a little psychopathic when they get home and just slam their head on the keyboard on a consistent basis.
I don't know if I can really top poop in a boot, but we did have some fiery poops during Cards Against Humanity the other night.
Fiery poops. For the win. I'm so glad I haven't had breakfast.
Yeah. They were sold out. I wanted to buy Cards Against Humanity.
Third expansion pack.
They have it in the Kickstarter arcade.
I have them in my
suitcase. No, that's out of them.
Yeah, they're out.
They're sold,
sold out.
Damn. Good thing I got mine.
Yep.
I'm not here. I really am not.
You're here.
Blue Onyx from Boston Bass Brigade, writer, cameraman, everything else in between that these bastards don't do over here.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a programmer, too.
Yeah, so I'll program 8 things a day.
Yeah. There's that. So that's our group, our roundtable, and to kind of kick everything off, you know, we usually go around and what was, like, the most enjoyable thing that you have seen on the floor, the most enjoyable thing that you got hands-on with, and just kind of your general feel about the show. I'm going to go last because normally when we do this, we end up eating like most of the hour, and then we're like, really quick, what do you have to say? So yes. I'm going to let our guests go first.
That'd be appropriate.
Because I'm going to try to not be a dick this podcast.
I appreciate that.
I said try.
But people are here to listen to you.
Don't get me wrong.
They're here to listen to us.
Don't get me wrong. I'm going to open my mouth.
And not them. Yeah. not so much. No. All them.
In Boston, and the hat is off.
It's I'm going to poop in the
And now I'm going to poop in it.
And that's our podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining us today.
This is what happens when you don't bring bacon brownies.
Bacon in a podcast is best, but... Anyway, I'm going to throw it out there for whoever wants to start.
I guess I could. There are 2 games.
Wow. Well, since everybody else is probably just going to say Assassin's Creed 4 anyway.
No, that's not what I'm
going to
say.
I'm going to throw 2 out there. First one I'm going to throw out there is DuckTales.
Good Lord, no.
Because nobody saw this announcement coming.
Yeah.
Honestly, nobody. They expected
neither did Capcom.
Exactly. They were like, you want to do Duck? Oh, yeah, sure. Bring Scrooge McDuck with you. And then the second thing, Supergiant Games, Transistor. This game looks phenomenal. Just like Bastion did. So I'm really looking forward to that one. So those are my 2 big ones. So sorry to take up the first spot, guys.
See, the thing that got me about DuckTales is that, you know, only Capcom could screw this up. And the way that they screwed this up is they decided in their infinite wisdom, we only need 1 kiosk for this. And it's a 7-minute demo, and, you know, we're going to let everybody... So it's like the line goes, like, around the little corner of the booth, then there's an enforcer like, no, you can't get in, it's already 4-hour wait right here.
They underestimated the nostalgia factor.
What they did is they actually announced 2 games. They announced DuckTales, and they announced that Dungeons & Dragons arcade game remake, and they put them next to each other, and they're like, why is nobody playing this Dungeons & Dragons game? Like, it's wide
because
open.
4 players, and they're done in 3 minutes compared to the 7-minute one-person demo.
What they should have done is just had a booth the size of the Riot booth and just filled it with DuckTales.
I would have loved to have been the Capcom exec sitting there when everybody was singing along to the DuckTales song at the World Capcom. Where fuck we only have this at 1 booth? Guys.
You do a little duck bill swag.
Cosplay.
And see, I actually was talking to the Capcom person there, you know, as I was watching somebody else play, and I'm like, so why do you guys only have this at 1 kiosk? And she just gave me this look like, I wish you just did not ask me that question.
She was
I'm like, well, this was an hour after, so like, I think I was only like the 5th person to ask that at the time, and I'm like, that's a million-dollar question. And she's like, yes, we have no clue why.
Oh, but you play Capcom Arcade Cabinet, that's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't want to play that. Like, as soon as I saw the announcement, I'm like, we're getting on the floor, and we're playing this today.
We're getting on the floor!
And then I got down there, and she's like, yeah, the line's capped, and it's a 3-hour wait. I'm like, well, then why does your sign say woohoo? Because that's a boohoo. That's false advertisement, and you should just let me in the line because of that. And she's like, okay, you're really cute, and I really wish that I could. But I'm just an enforcer, so I can't. And
aww, I was like, okay. I don't have that kind
so
of
So I was, like, standing there for a while next to the trash can, like, watching the line move. And I'm like, I could almost fit in. Like, you could just let me, like, right in the end. She's like, I can't, it's capped. I'm like, that's really disappointing. And she's like, I know. She goes, It's ridiculous.
Did she make that voice too?
Yeah, she did. She did. And I was like, you know, the enforcers.
They know what they're doing.
They're so fun. I have to say that they got a really good group of enforcers this year, because we were joking back and forth for like 15 minutes because I was going to get into that line, I thought. But she held her ground, so I give her credit for that, because I started getting menacing towards
enforcers doing their job, enforcing
like
shit.
A little stalkery,
like rules,
whatever. But I really wanted to play it because, you know, DuckTales was one of my more favorite games to play, and it really did catch me like completely, completely nice. By surprise when I saw the PR release. And I agree, they really underestimated the nostalgia factor, because I think for a lot of people, it was one of our more favorite games on the NES.
It was the first game I ever beat without a Game Genie.
Mm. And not to mention the fact that if it does well, I said, you guys have to release Rescue Rangers with online co-op.
Yes!
Yeah. You would.
Mm-hmm. And they will. And when they do that, they're also only going to give it one kiosk.
Probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Don't worry. This is...
It's Capcom. Come on.
Yeah, this is Capcom.
You can't get in the line unless you speak like Dale.
Yeah. Additional kiosks are locked on the CD as DLC.
Anybody can play Remember Me? I'll play Remember Me later. Come on. DuckTales.
DuckTales now.
They'll probably wait for the multiple cabinets for the Tailspin NES game.
I fucking hate Tailspin.
My point exactly.
I did not like Rebecca. I had a problem with Rebecca, the leader lady.
Yeah.
It's like, I hate you.
She was a bitch.
Die on a plane.
She said female chipmunk squirrels back thousands of years.
Her kid pooped in a boot is what it is.
You know, and that might
have been... 10 minutes ago.
I know. This is the internet. Come on.
Keep it current.
Yeah, I have no thoughts. I'm not actually playing games while I'm here. I don't like
Street
the line.
Pass.
I'm playing Street Pass, yes. I don't like the line, so I've been headed over to the tabletop games area the whole time and just sat down, and all these people that have their Kickstarters for tabletop games that I've never played before, I'm like, tell me about your game, and they're all really excited, and it's calm there, and there are no lines. You just sit down, and you're like, hello. So I haven't played anything.
All their
really.
Feet calm. Our feet are bitching.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. That's all I've been doing.
Yeah, and see, that was kind of what, you know, I've seen a lot of video games here, but the one thing that I wanted to bring up was it's a card game that they were showing over in the tabletop area, because it triggered my PTSD. Because I used to be one of the first forum moderators and chat room people of the G4 television network when it started, and there is a card game that they're showing here that is all about being a forum moderator and trying to create threads, and you've got people trolling your threads, and you're trying to close the threads and everything. It's called Flame War. It's from fun211.com.
I have to go look at that today.
Does it have a porn category?
There are porn cards.
Oh, my God. I was kidding.
There's crony cards.
Nice.
If you like these PTSD boosts, I found one when I was walking around there, just the staring contest, and they had two chairs and two people were just staring. I was like, this is really happening.
And they kickstarted that with $100,000.
Got it. How long was that line?
Not that long.
Like, your original job would actually turn into a game.
I know. I'm like, I'm having PTSD, and they're like, yeah. And they play this card. I'm like, I have actually had that happen to one of my threads. Oh my God.
Masochistic board games. Masochistic.
And then I bought it. You
know, I got you.
Why are we not playing it while we're doing this right now?
I was having a staring contest. You lost it.
You couldn't even tell if I blinked.
Yeah, you blinked.
How about you, John?
Besides like the obvious ones, you know, being Watch Dogs and Elder Scrolls and stuff like that. One game that actually kind of stood out to me was Spartacus Legends.
Really?
I'm a huge fan of the series, mm-hmm. So maybe I'm a little biased toward it in that sense, but it being, A, free to play, was kind of skeptical going into it, not knowing what you're going to get, but they pretty much worked really well with Stars and Ubisoft to actually create a really good fighting game based off the series.
And if you're looking into that, you might also, if you have time today, Ascend New Gods. That's a good free to play too. That's really good.
Check that out. Yeah. But yeah, that's probably my little like sleeper of, I think, of the show.
You also said I am Spartacus when you walked away.
I did. I started talking in his accent and everything. I was like, what the hell just happened to me?
Nice.
Kick a guy down a hole.
But one thing I want to bring up. Anyone want to go to the 2K booth?
It's not a booth. It's a broadcast center. They didn't bring BioShock? Last year they had Borderlands all over the place.
No, they had a panel.
Yeah, they had several panels.
And Gearbox has another one later on today.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
That's a
cool one. Only BioShock here.
Yes.
Wow. That is the only BioShock here.
Show the people.
There's a few pins that are about that big.
So let me guess. Are you going to go to the Gearbox panel and ask, hey, do you have Sega's money?
Actually, that's
what's in the vault.
When we were talking with Demiurge about Too Many Robots, I brought that up about them doing the Wii U version. It was like, we can't comment on it. But we did the bug hunt things, and people are liking it. And I'm like, great. Someone actually liked something about Aliens Colonial Marines.
They did a bug hunt? What do? Find all the errors of the game?
You're doing your job.
It was right there, too.
Oh, I'm doing that with SimCity right now, too. So.
Oh, please don't talk about SimCity.
Oh, you mean SimShitty?
I think there needs to be a whole show dedicated to that.
I tried to be so patient. I was like, I don't care that it's broken. I'll just wait a couple weeks and it'll be good. And then I got to play it and it wasn't good.
No.
Yeah. Occupy.
I'm going to say Occupy SimCity.
Why is my traffic dead? Why can I build a city of all residential with just a fire station at work?
You know what? At least none of you played Walking Dead Survival Instinct. And yes, I called it Instinct because that game sucks.
Okay, I have it in my GameFly for the Wii U version.
Take it off, or okay.
No, because I just need to see how horrible the game is. It's why I put Aliens Colonial Marines. That's why I played it. I just wanted to see how bad it is. And if this game turns out to be worse than Aliens Colonial Marines,
I make Aliens Colonial Marines look like a Game of the Year candidate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that bad.
David May.
Dude, and by the way, why are you doing this? Is your arm tired?
It's the autism, dude. That's how we speak.
He wrote
and you're
a
dick. I know.
His arm is tired. He was like a T-Rex at the keyboard.
No,
that's wrong. Not to make a bet.
No. If it was a T-Rex, it'd be like...
He actually did roar when he ran out of the elevator this morning.
It was like my arm on
right
the Pachinko for a half hour at the Able Gamers booth. I'm still winning that. It didn't stop, and you have to keep holding it. It was like, oh, afterwards I got a beer and my hand was trembling. I was like, I can't do it anymore.
Was it trembling just because you're like, you're home? Or
I don't know, because I held that thing for so long. Have you played that Pachinko thing?
No.
They're doing it for charity right out in front. You pay $5 and you get like a certain amount of these little balls. And the Pachinko game's like, it's almost like a slot machine thing. But you have to shoot the ball in the right direction to get it to go down.
Yeah, I played it in Japan. It's a lot of fun.
And I'd never done it before. And for some reason, I kept hitting all jackpots. They were freaking out. They're like, we need more things to collect the balls. We need more balls.
We need more balls.
She is holding it like this.
All right, I'll be back if they need more balls.
I wanted to lose, but I wanted to be the winner. But my arm was so tired, I was shaking. I can't do it anymore. But you guys should stop by there. It's for charity.
Yeah.
But don't beat my score, because right now I'm winning the iPad Mini.
You mean just an iPhone?
No, she has been holding it all day.
It's okay.
I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, but I want the Mini now, because if I win it for free, then, you know, fun.
Bonus!
Why not? Bonus. It's for charity.
Yeah, it's good all the way
around.
Charity.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, how much money did you have to pay to get to this?
Nothing. I want it in charity.
I want things.
I don't blame you. That was one thing that I did notice, is like there was a lot less swag, it seemed like, this year on the floor.
There was any swag?
It's a very shirts and buttons and stuff like that, but if you went to the Mad Cats party, they hooked you up.
Yeah, I didn't because they didn't invite us, so we didn't get the
hooker.
I don't want to say racism. Oh my god, I don't play that card.
Hold on.
You actually played the racism card before me.
I know.
I just wanted the first time.
Is that the Cards Against Humanity pack? Or
the we invented one. It just says the racism. No, I love the cards. White people and black people. I always like to use them together if I can.
Do they get a just straight up card that says poop?
Poop in a poop.
Yes.
Poop in a poop.
Seriously, we have so many weird things like that on our our podcast that Desiree was like, please go to that panel, because they had the panel where you could suggest cards. I was like, I'm not going to go in there and be like, poop in a boot and sparkle pukes and stuff. But we, the weirdest things come out of that, that she's like, she actually tried to call them. She's like, you should call them and tell them they should make a special pack for the mommy gamers. I was like, we're not that big. She's like, what's the worst they could say? No.
No.
I'm like, I'm not going to be that person.
No, they're going to make a card.
Well, they can say no and then make it a card anyway. Yeah, they can take your idea.
Next year, sparkle pukes, bumper stickers.
I will design those.
Really?
I like glitter.
I like glitter.
And vomit.
It really had to do with, like, puking sparkly things. So,
But yeah, I was really surprised. Like, it seemed like most of the developers who were showing off games finally realized that giving away T-shirts as an incentive for you to pre-order their game was a better way to go than to just, like, randomly shoot them out on the floor, which I found more of this year, which, don't get me wrong, I'm like, smart on you for finally getting brilliant about that.
No, see, Capcom was cool because they gave away posters.
Yeah.
Getting a DuckTales poster, believe it or not, and this is a 40-year-old almost talking, is pretty nice for your gaming thing. So, you know.
At least you don't have to get a tattoo.
Dude, have to wait in line.
DuckTales. Screw DuckTales. Huey, Dewey, Louie,
motherfucker.
I would do it.
Can you put it on the right cheek?
Well, that was WildStar. Play our game. Get a T-shirt.
Oh, see. Last year, you know, like I said, Ubisoft, they did the thing where you shaved your head and you got a free copy of Far Cry 3. I was expecting Assassin's Creed 4 where you cut off your right leg and get a peg leg.
That would have worked.
Show us your dedication.
Maybe for Elder Scrolls, take an arrow to the knee.
Yeah.
I got no comments when I asked them that in the interview. I was like, do you have a take an arrow to the knee reference?
So
and the guy's just like,
that.
No comment.
No comment.
I was like, so that's a yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we should talk about one other thing. They showed off Saints Row 4.
Yes. Yeah, that was going to be one of my picks.
I wanted to bring it up because...
I'll let you bring it up because your Saints Row story is much
better
than mine.
The most awesome thing happened when I was going to my interview with them or my little time with them. And there was this 12-year-old boy hanging around in front of Deep Silver. And he had bumped into one of the guys who was doing the demo, and he was just talking, and he's like, yeah, I can't go to the convention, I don't have a pass, my mom's trying to get in, and mind you, it's sold out, and we all know it, and his mom's fighting for him to try to get him a one-day pass so he could go in. And this guy, I think his name is Steve, so Steve,
she's air quoting,
and he's like, I'm going to help you get on the floor. Once you're on the floor, do not go near any of the exits, because they will kick you out. And they gave him an exhibitor's badge, and they walked him in.
Oh, nice.
So he got to have the best day ever.
That's awesome.
And, of course, like, there's four of us reporters hanging around, and one of the PR ladies is like, you know, if this somehow worked into your piece, that'd be awesome. But no direct names, though.
Yeah.
That's all right. So, but it was so awesome.
Except the name drop you just dropped.
Right.
Steve.
I still hope his real name isn't Steve, because now he's fucked.
Did we say Steve? We meant Xavier.
Yeah. We meant Elliot. So I got to see, you know, us in our best form, being charitable and extending a hand, and in a time where, you know, most of the time you're doing your job, you're really not thinking about other people, you're thinking about yourself. And then I got to see the dubstep gun. So, I mean, it was a win-win for me.
Yeah. See, the inflato gun's where it's at.
Yeah, inflato gun's awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome, too.
Buggy eyes. Right. I don't know. The dubstep gun.
I have a newfound respect for dubstep after that. It's just, I painted it for
kills
so long.
Aliens!
And now seeing people dance to death and hydro-lifting cars, I'm like, I think now anytime I hear dubstep, I'm going to probably smile and chuckle a little bit.
Put Skillrix in the game, there you go.
Yeah. Yes.
All you need to do.
Yeah, they haven't even announced who's going to be on the radio stuff, so who knows? They could probably get Skrillex to do something for it.
I'm assuming if he's not on the radio, he's going to be the music that we hear from the gun.
Yeah.
So
the music sounded a little familiar.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, have I heard that before?
They said it was something that they created themselves. It wasn't some big name person.
It's Herbie Hancock. Dun, 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 dun. It's all his music.
With, like, robot legs kicking up as they do it.
That's really all you need. And I gotta say, I was really impressed. Even though it was just a quick walk through some of the gameplay and a highlight piece, I was so excited for Saints Row 4, listening to them talk about the process and really how much Deep Silver has allowed them to go back to what their original vision for the Enter the Dominatrix piece was and the game, and that they're planning on releasing Dominatrix as kind of like a director's cut piece once the game goes live is really cool, because I was looking forward to that DLC, and then when it was like, well, we're not actually gonna release it now, but for those of you who did Street Pass, like, we still love you though, so we're gonna give you some other stuff. It was just really reassuring to see that Saints was going to be Saints, even taken to another level.
Not to mention the fact they're taking care of 4A games in Metro Last Light.
Yeah.
That looks awesome, too.
Yes. I think that's been my favorite game so far, playing at PAX East. I remember seeing this back at E3 in 2011. It was the last thing I got to see, and I was just blown away graphically by it. And finally being able to play it in almost its final form. It's the most beautiful game I've seen since id Software's Rage. I've got to tell you how it moves, and they fixed everything about the previous game, because I had such a hard time playing Metro 2033. This game just feels so much better when you're aiming, when you're shooting, when you're trying to hide, trying to do stealth. It's so far been my game of PAX East this year.
It is a great game.
And it's even it's scary in some places too.
Anybody else?
Is anybody a Star Trek fan?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
No, it's this, not this.
There it is.
If you ever wanted to fly a starship with all your friends, like each one controls.
Oh my god, are you talking about Artemis right now?
Yes. Yeah. I bought it right on the spot after that. It's behind the Twitch. Like the Twitch booth in the back alley, you gotta see it. Each person gets to play one of the consoles. You have a science officer who like scans stuff and like tell the weapons officer who's like loading torpedoes and preparing lasers what frequency to shoot the lasers at to make sure that you destroy the enemy quicker. And the captain has to give headings and directions, and the engineers changing all his crews around. It's amazing.
Unless you have really shitty people playing with you, it'd be like, yeah. Come on!
But it covers all the departments, and it's across a whole bunch of different platforms. So I can play on my PC, and somebody can play on their touch iPad and sit there and actually touch the console.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
It's all set up at that booth, so they got all touchscreen laptops, except for the person piloting the ship. They put a joystick in.
Oh, of course.
So you can, it's simply amazing, and that is why I did not make a showing at the Curse Party, because I went home, I installed it, and immediately called up my friends. I was like, we got to play this now, and we were all just flying the ship around for the latter half.
You didn't miss anything by not going to the Curse Party.
You didn't miss anything.
So I know it's going to be appealing to Fred Roberts' alley. I think we all need to get that game, get hammered, and try to fly a spaceship.
Well, here's Boston Bastard Brigade mission.
Here's the trick. They are pro DRM. There is no DRM. So when I bought it, they told me, you were buying the license to the ship, so you can invite all your friends and hand out through a Dropbox account this game, so they can all play it just off of buying one copy. But if you're going to fly, like, two ships, please purchase the game again. So if we all want to, I can send out a copy, and we can all jump on a ship and fly it around and let the chaos ensue. Get drunk and fly a ship.
Get drunk.
It's a space adventure.
It's going to be upside down flying.
It's just going to be like flight like cruising the entire ship.
It's just slamming into the side of a space station.
Now watch though. Evan's just going to be like, I'm going to fly toward Uranus.
When we first started, my buddies didn't know how to play it, and I was talking to them over vent in the hotel room. So the first thing we did is drill at warp 4 right into a minefield. I'm just sitting there, it's like, there's mines in front, you just saw us like plow right through the field and explode. It was beautiful.
Watch, I'm going to be the one quoting all the Galaxy Quest stuff.
That's perfect. We make it Galaxy Quest 2. Nice. We take it over before they produce the second movie.
On.
Start the Kickstarter for that right now. Do it.
If we can get Amanda Palmer on board, we'll get it in seconds.
Let's get the sponsors of the Starian contest.
Let's all go down.
Dedication. They have dedication.
Let's start a line at that booth after this.
What do you guys want to
buy your game?
The best game ever.
I guess you're like,
why are all the media people here? Because it's awesome.
It's like, we get it.
And another one that was surprising for me, because I spent a lot of time with the indie mega booth and the indie mega mini booth, which was really cool. They actually have the largest single entity space on the show floor, the mega booth, which is really nice. Like, Cappy is sharing a booth with
Double Fine.
And I was trolling that entire area, just kind of seeing what people were gravitating towards and where the crowds were coming. And one of the ones that had the largest crowd, and I immediately flocked to, and as I watched it, I was like, I have to have this game, is a game called Dive Kick.
Yes. Oh, that was originally a joke to begin with.
I know.
But now it's real.
But it's real, and I must has it. So the way that it's set up is that there, you have two moves. It's a fighting game. All of the characters have a single stance, but the only thing they can do is jump up to dive and kick. And whoever gets hit with a kick first insta-dies, and you win. So it's just two buttons, dive and kick. It is narrated by your Shaolin master, who in the absolute stereotypical Japanese voice, like, ready, dive, kick, and then the counter goes off, and it's the first one to five wins.
Say it again.
And so you've got just stereotypical, like, you have a character named Dive, who wears, like, a blue hoodie and a jumpsuit. And Kick, who wears a jumpsuit but instead of a hoodie, has his hat to the side, and Dive's a white dude, Kick is a black dude, and then there are, like, several other characters. I call him, like, Fat Jackie Chan, which is one character. And
that's exactly
like,
what I called him.
Yeah, he's, like, it's just, like, huge.
I was like, look, I'm going to go pick the Fat Jackie Chan.
Exactly. And you just jump.
You fat fuck.
Dive. And Kick. And it is addictively fun. Like, I was there for a half hour playing and then watching other people play. And if you have a chance and you're on the floor and you haven't experienced Dive Kick, I implore you, experience Dive Kick.
She's making me play it after the show.
I'm going to go over there afterwards. But
we'll go get that game
and then we'll go get him. Then we get stopped by Vlambeer because they released a game called Ridiculous Fishing, and it lives up to its name.
I haven't heard this more than once.
You know what it is? It's a fishing game, but you can, like, what it is, you go down and you catch the fish, and then you come back up with a bunch of fish on your lure. Then they fly in the air, and you shoot the fish in the air.
Well, why did you let them go to begin with?
So wait, it's like fish hunting?
You could kill the fish, yeah. It's like
is there
fish
a dog in it that makes
you
make
cash, and you can buy lures, you can buy, like, chainsaw.
Is there a dolphin that makes fun of you?
Yes, there's a dolphin.
It, like, laughs
there's
at you.
There's a dolphin. Then you shoot the dolphin.
Did you have to pick up the little bullet shells out of the fish?
You can upgrade your weapons. You can upgrade your lures. It's actually a really fun game.
Does PETA know about this?
Who gives a fuck?
They're going to make their own Pokemon
Apparently
game.
We're anti-PETA.
Very much so.
Fuck those people. I like animals.
I like animals.
People protect the animals.
I like PETA chips with, like, hummus.
So, Vlambeer, check out Ridiculous Fishing. It's a lot of fun. It's like $3 on iTunes. It's well worth it.
Did you try the flying shooting game that they had there, too?
Oh, the Lift Risers.
Yeah,
that was insane.
That was insane. Because you're, like, flying around. It's like you fly around, like, this old school thing, and you can use, like, missiles, lasers, and everything. You have to, like, destroy battleships and air. It's like the old school shooter style game, and it's a lot of fun. They're bringing it to, like, PS3 and Vita, too, which is really awesome.
Oh, the Vita's still here?
It's tucked away underneath the desk.
You know, that's a thing.
It's a thing.
Mostly in Japan.
Yeah. Hey, Guacamelee's coming out for it. That's decent.
The name got me on that one.
Guacamelee.
I was like, what is it? Funny.
I mean, right there at Guacamelee, like, you have to experience it. At least
you have
once.
To melee some guac.
No. It's a beat-em-up game with a Lucha Libre wrestler. Well, it's not as good as Dive Kick.
It made me want nachos.
See, I wanted to melee some guac and have some chips.
That's on the Vista.
Vita.
Vista.
It's on the
Atari
2600.
Now, that's my game right there.
Can I use the trackball?
Yeah. So what is your favorite game and why is it Happy Wheels? I saw that booth and went insane. I was like, are you kidding me? That's great. Happy Wheels is here.
Did any of you go to the Cappy booth and try Super Time Force?
Oh, God.
That was insane. Having to go back in time, to try and save your previous selves. And I love how the dinosaur looks like the dinosaur from the TV show Dinosaurs.
Not the mama?
Yes. No, the other one. The
oh,
one
that's exactly
the,
what I thought yeah. too.
Yeah. Yes.
Brother.
Yes. Like the brother.
Oh, the brother.
The brother.
Wasn't his name Robert?
Yes. I think it was Robert.
His name was way too much about dinosaurs.
I liked the series. It was on TGIF back in the day.
I can't watch the series because I always remember the series finale sucking. So
yes! Badly. We knew they were going to die. It's history.
That
they died.
Flintstones didn't really die. Right.
Dinosaurs. Wow.
It was a meteor.
I've heard of a lot of tangents before, but that one wanted to. Yeah. Well, it's a great segue because my next thing is about go home dinosaurs. Yes. Yes.
We didn't even plan that.
Either. I didn't even pay you guys. It's awesome. No,
boy,
that was such another
yeah.
one. I really, really enjoy it. I mean, you know, you're just gophers trying to have a picnic,
trying to have some steak.
It's you're just trying to have a good time. And these damn dinosaurs keep coming and trying to ruin your picnic.
Yeah. It's like Jurassic Park, but not.
But if you're not the steak, you have other steaks.
I did to play the beta of it. I liked it, and I wrote a piece on my site for it, and they were all like, oh, you wrote that? And they, like, all of them hugged me.
Oh, yeah, fire.
I don't know. I do sometimes.
So
but that was great. My son played it through it, too. He's 11. He played through the whole first levels of it and didn't stop. I was like, you need to take a break because you get so tied up in it because it's fun. It's simple. Like, the little dinosaur things are kind of like little Tetris pieces, so you have to take advantage
of all
the space on there.
You have your gophers, and you have to
there.
Adjust them so that they can attack and kill the dinosaurs before they can get to your stake.
Yeah,
and you only have 3 stakes.
Clever girl.
It's basically Tetris Tower
Jurassic
Dinosaur
Park.
Defense.
Yeah.
Well, the quote we did for our site was, it's Plants vs. Zombies, you know, like, made out with Tetris on a drunken night, and, like, that's what they produced 9 months later.
Yep.
So,
small
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is no greater highlight than playing Charlie Murder with the game's creator, James Silva, while he's singing the I Made a Game Zombies game.
Yeah.
I mean, that game is a tribute to the
beat-em-up. Yeah, sing it, because I don't know the song. Sing it.
Yeah. I made a game with zombies!
Can you guys trim that out so I can make it my ringtone?
That's a good one. I want her dive chick as my ringtone.
Dive chick! That'll be my text tone.
That's a good one.
She's going to be like, random sound samples.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a big indie game explosion, and I love it because, like, the Ouya is releasing its Kickstarters later this month and then in June, and they're going to get a big push from the indie
mm-hmm.
developers. And it seems like, you know, GDC is going to have some big stuff. E3 we might see, who knows. But
yeah.
I just, I mean,
yeah,
I,
no.
PAX
E3,
PAX
indie.
Prime. PAX Prime, yeah. I meant. Sorry. This is the non-sleep talking. PAX Prime is obviously going to be. I mean, I like the fact that these developers are really reaching out and have their own mega booth that people can just go and discover this awesome geek stuff. You know,
no, the indie booths are always my favorite. They don't have long lines, and they will talk to you about their game, and they're passionate about it.
And they
it.
Want to
you
talk
know?
To you about
you try
their
and get the
game.
I know,
for
compared
the
to,
booth.
Like, oh, DuckTales, wait 3 hours.
No, well, the big booths, they're too busy, and they don't treat you. I mean, I'm not saying they're disrespectful, but they're just like, hey, yeah, you're here, everybody's here. You go to the indie booth, and they just talk to you about everything. Just
and they give
this,
you
this, and they're,
yes.
Yeah, they're nice. And they really are happy when you write about their game and want to.
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
all over it, you know.
Yeah.
No,
yes, we
had Softfire, Firehose Games, and Go Home Dinosaurs at BFIG, the first Boston Festival of Indie Games, last year.
And that guy's a riot.
Firehouse is amazing, but it also brings up another indie game that I've been giving a lot of attention to, Cognition. And they're on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and it's really good. And I'm not a point-and-click adventure PC girl, and I'm waiting for episode 3 right now. And I think they're showing 1 and a little bit of 2 on the floor. And if you have a chance to go and check them out, I strongly suggest that you do. I think they are available on Steam, too, because they got the Vive for Steam. So it's amazing.
Did anybody see Nut Jitsu from Ninja Bee?
No.
That's actually pretty good, too. They're
do you
they're
kick really nuts?
Good.
Nut kick!
Nut kick!
Nut kick!
No, it's an action game, and they also have a world of Keflings if you still care about that. Literally,
what?
People still like that.
Well, some people, but it's on Wii U.
Is it not cool to say that
what's
Wii U?
What's Wii U?
Oh, are you kidding?
they have it on
It's
the
like a $400 really nice piece of. Art right now in my living room. No, it's a handheld Netflix viewer. Is what it is.
I think the big problem with the Wii U is like
so
when your biggest
more
title
expensive than a tablet.
I know. I mean, like if your biggest game of PAX East is a port of Deus Ex, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, no, they had the Wonderful 101 there.
Well, yeah, that's true, but that was revealed like months ago.
Yeah, but it's more of a final build this time around.
Oh, good. Well, I do like that.
But look at the Wii's actual big titles. I mean, Mario and the like.
Dinosaurs are
trying to get dinosaurs.
Go home!
Wait, let me drop the base.
Dino King.
What is a dubstep gun?
Yeah. hold on.
You know, we haven't heard from our cameraman Bluonic here, so
you don't want to hear from me, Sean?
Yes, we do.
He's not even showing him.
I'm having so much fun right now because this stupid fucking internet.
You can speak.
Internet keeps just messing with this, so this whole feed is just completely fucked. But
I didn't mean that way.
But I mean, for the most part, I guess because we're talking over the podcast, so I don't want to interrupt anything going on with that. What I can really say is I want to say the Stinky Footpad is probably one of the best ones that I was able to check out with the setup that you're able to control. Your PC setup with your feet. Like, the one that I got to play was, you know, it was the advanced setup, as they called it, because there was actually two of their pads are, like, worth, like, right now, like, if you were to go to them, you could get it for, like, $90, but I guess it's $120 that you sell it for. But it has four directions on the pad, so you can actually have it so you can do boosters and stuff like that instead of having to do everything on, you know, your hands just by the keyboard and stuff like that. This gives you the options to press with your feet and do a lot more. And
well, I'm better with my hands anyway.
Yeah, so. I only hope that they're demo units. They have you your shoes on, so they're not actually stinky foot pads.
Yes,
throwing that out there.
Well, that would be fancy.
Because that's going to take the funk to a whole new level.
I was about to say you could make some pretty bad games with fuse in your feet. In that pad.
Well, DDR is enough, man.
the game that you were able to play with, it was Hawken. So I was really liking the
which
whole
is another
mech,
really
mech
good
type
one
game
to
play
that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't have to go over to Hawken to play it. I can just play it right here. So I just was able to take the new goggle system that I had from Liquid Image, and I just turned it on and was able to record everything that I was playing right there and then, and it was pretty awesome.
Now, so, how did the game play using the pads on the bottom as opposed to the keyboard?
Okay, well,
because Hawken's really intense.
A little bit secondary function.
this is one of those things where, you know, with PC gaming, you're just used to, like, you know, you don't have any foot movement unless, you know, you have, like, restless leg syndrome. You're just sitting there, like, tapping away. But more or less, it's one of those things where, you know, how you're used to, like, just running the keyboard like a piano, basically. But this is now that you're running the keyboard with a piano, but also the footstepping part on the piano and stuff like that. So this is giving you the capabilities of, instead of, like, you can turn, like, the front pad as, like, a shift, or you could do whatever else you want to program this to. My other thought process was that you could actually use this towards a music, like, drum set, too, because it's just so simple. Like, it's you don't have to lift your foot up. Like, they made it so simple that you can just, you know, lightly just, like, press
just
forward.
Just gingerly press your big toe.
Exactly. It's simple. It's easy. It's cut clean. But to play it with Hawken, because I got to sit down to the advanced setup with the two pads, it was definitely mind-blowing, because I was kind of like, oh, wow, I'm actually doing more multitasking than I ever had to with the game now. So it's like you do certain setups with it, so you could have a bot that would come out and, you know, fix your robot by just, like, putting your heel back and then pressing a certain button on the keyboard at the same time, and you'd be all set. It's just one of those things where if you can basically drive a vehicle, you could basically turn this into actually driving the mech from Hawken.
So 16-year-olds now in Boston could not do this.
No,
so
they're too fucking... anybody actually from the lower generation,
anyone
fuck them. They don't know. They don't know what they're doing. I
have no clue. Are the pads relative... Like, I haven't been anywhere near them. Like, are they individual pads? Like, if I step on them? Because I'd be so worried that, you know, with my... size.
No, actually, that was the one thing that I was worried about myself with the size of, like, my feet and everything like that. They said that because they had the pads ready.
My big size.
My big feet.
So anyways, I'm going to size 13. Shut the fuck up. Anyways. So to have...
I'm related to you. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, you mean something like that?
Yeah.
So like, more or less, they had it so you could actually stand on them in like the front area, like when you're just like, what the hell is this thing? So they're like, yeah, you can stand on it. We ran it over with like an SUV and stuff like that. It's that strong, and they have it so you can actually.
Well, that one was, but all those prototypes before, they didn't.
No, no, they didn't have it. But the other thing is they have like little mini springs that you could change the resistance to it, saying like if you want like if. You're a weakling or something like that. You can turn into soft, or if you know you're one of those people.
If your feet are pussies,
you better go every time I'm playing this game. Yeah, you gotta get that.
But can you play solitaire?
You know what? Because of the fact that you could put like you know the WASD.
He's
on,
gonna
on the
try.
You
probably ultimate mind sweeper. Step there. It's safe.
Actually, that'd be a really cool.
I never figured out how to win at that game.
Me neither.
We used to try Kickstarter. Start it now.
We used to try to play Rush and Pod Racer on the N64 controller with just our feet. So you'd use one foot, you'd hold down the A, and you put the other foot on the little joystick, and
I was
right on
this.
The hit.
How many
drunken competitions do you have?
It was awesome!
I thought you were going to say, we weren't drunk!
That's it, it's more fun when you are.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about a lot of positives. Did anyone come across any negatives on the floor this year?
The whole fucking thing.
Other than the people that smell like onions and feet?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a given.
The DuckTales line?
Yeah,
yeah, I'm just bringing that back up. So.
I think, by the way, Capcom messed that up. So just reminding everybody.
I think it was a weird vibe, because no Activision, no Rockstar.
Well, 2K was a podcast booth.
Yep.
I wanted to see the Civ 5 expansion. You guys were all like Bioshock. I'm like, I want to see the new Civ 5 thing. No, we're not coming to PAX.
Did you hear what they're doing? Firaxis is like, they showed a thing for what looks like to be another XCOM. And then I guess at their panel they announced that there will be a XCOM research in Civ 5 and it will turn your paratroopers into XCOM troopers.
That is kind of awesome.
So they're like interlinking those two games along with an XCOM teaser.
But can you go the other way around?
Why would you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny to see aliens being shot by with muskets and such?
What is this, Assassin's Creed 4?
No, that's Far Cry Pirates.
Sorry,
you're getting it confused.
Yeah.
Only if you cut your hair for a mohawk.
Right. You have to grow it out like you have to get an eye patch. We'll actually take your eye out. Sorry.
Now, if you tattoo your balls, we'll give you a free copy
with Scrooge McDuck. King Baby Duck over there.
My childhood is Assassin's Creed. Just like they go over the top with their challenges.
Development teams, they have no choice but to go over the top.
Now, if you get a tattoo that you can never remove on the side of your face, you have early access to a beta, but we're not going to give you the game.
You have to talk like Jack Sparrow the entire show.
Isn't even about this curse money and me.
He's talking about it. It's going to be like all that
awesome. Did you see my Scrooge McDuck? My bad.
But I agree with you, John. I was really surprised, you know, that as we look at the floor, like I was like, okay, so this is the first time that I remember seeing Sony having a big booth presence on the floor. And
I mean,
there's
any booth presence.
Yeah,
like The Last of Us, that's it.
You know.
No Beyond Two Souls.
No.
I don't think we're going to see Beyond Two Souls until PlayStation 4, honestly.
Yeah. And so I really think that's going to be like their main play for E3.
Look at Blizzard makes an appearance. We have a big announcement to make, and everybody gets all psyched up. It's Blizzard's All-Stars card game. And everybody in the panel's like, really? Did you see the email? You sent a blood-covered crest to everyone with, like, a Warcraft stamp on it.
I will say this, though. Diablo 3 actually doesn't play bad on a PS3 controller.
I will say this, though.
Yes?
We called it out in advance at Diablo 3.
Of course
you did. The demo was obviously going to be...
I will say this, though. Quit saying that.
But yeah, I was really surprised, you know, when you look at the floor, like, the indies have the big presence, which is fantastic, because I love the indie game feel, but I was like, okay, Bethesda came with DLC and Elder Scrolls Online, and a great hands-on time with both games, which was awesome.
I played all 2 hours.
Can Capcom had a good presence.
Capcom had a good presence.
I got addicted.
League of Legends pretty much ate up that entire...
They always eat up PAX.
League of Legends doesn't even have to be a PAX. If you're there for League of Legends, you aren't leaving that booth for 3 days.
You know,
and you're probably dressed up as a character.
I got a huge 22 card.
Hey, you can eBay those things for good money. That's what I did to Eve. I went there and I grabbed like 3 ship cards. Just go, what's this game? Thank you. And I could like turn around and go to the next person. Like, oh, what's this game? I'll just take this. I just kept on doing it.
Here's why. Here's what happened. What starts Tuesday?
GDC.
Yeah.
They have to decide, okay, where are we going to go? And GDC is probably going to win out.
You know, I'm actually going to that right after this. I'm going to have serious jet lag.
Ugh.
But I'll have swag.
I know. That was more of a jealous, not a I feel sorry for you. Ugh.
No, nobody feels sorry for you.
No. I don't.
Well, there will be Bioshock Infinite coming out when you're there.
Yes, I hate you.
It's the Neverwinter Nights conundrum that they did. We're going to give you a beta weekend, and you can all have access and play, and it's going to be this weekend.
Yeah, I really don't think they did that to me.
You
want to
play?
Yeah, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to do what?
Go
to your hotel room and play on your laptop. Like,
the good news is this game is coming out. The bad news is it's for Vita.
Also, I'm mad at that game because I wanted that potion. Did you get that?
No.
I got a bag of chocolate coins. I was like, I wanted the potion bottle. They don't let you back in the line. It's a long line. Can I just swap it? No, you won the bag of coins. Try again.
How do I get the potion bottle? I want the potion.
You have to play the demo, and at the end of it, they did this at Prime, too. I got a beer stein. You have to get the loot from the boss. And you get the loot from the boss. And I wanted the potion bottles that are all lined up in front of my face. I got a bag of chocolate coins.
Well, look at the bright side. You're playing Pachinko and getting a 9th minute.
Maybe.
Not if I have anything to say about
it. Challenge is accepted.
You know what? I only played one time and I'm winning. So I'm sure I could go back and do it again if I had. I keep checking at the booth too. I'm like, am I still winning? They're like, we're not supposed to tell you.
But yeah, my only other disappointment, I think, with the show was that I haven't gone to any panels, and there have been very few panels that I was like, I really need to go to that panel. You know, like Harmonix, who I love, had a panel about the history of Rock Band. I'm like, didn't you guys do that last year when you did the reverse panel?
Well, no, what they did, I went to that panel. That's the only panel I went to was the Rock Band one, and what it actually was, here's where we messed up and why. And they called out names. It was basically, hey, we know you like Muse. Here's why Muse isn't in our game. Here's what happened with Guns N' Roses. And here's the person, you know, they told this big story about him, which we're probably not supposed to talk about, I don't know. But I'm going to talk about it anyway.
It came from Stan, by the way.
Yeah.
Steve. Making a different name. I don't want to blame Steve for everything.
But they actually, like, talked about, okay, this is music licensing, and this is how it works, and all that stuff. And this is where all the places it could go wrong. And they're like, okay, yeah, so there was an employee video that came out that said we got the entire Guns N' Roses library, blah, 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 blah. And then they actually, like, named who did the video, and we're all like, really? Because, like, the guy who made this fake video of a Harmonix employee saying, we have all of Appetite for Destruction and Use Your Illusion, and we're gonna make Guns N' Roses Rock Band, everybody believed him. Turns out he's now Dan Rickard of Game Informer. And before he got a job in the game industry, he made that video as a joke. And it went viral, and...
Oh, wow.
And they're like, that was Dan Rickard. And everybody's like, and they're like, yeah, it's a good thing he's not in this panel.
Yeah. Did they explain during the panel why they actually did release Nickelback songs? Because I don't think anybody bought them.
No.
I bought them.
It's okay. We still like
you. We forgive you. But they actually talked about, like, the Rock Band Japan. And what happened with that, and where they were like, yeah, we kind of forgot that they all, like, have small houses and we have big instruments and that doesn't exactly work, and then, like, music licensing in Japan, and then Pearl Jam Rock Band, and what happened with that, because Pearl Jam announced it and then it just never happened, but they showed concept art and videos of that, and they talked about the stuff they sent to Pink Floyd to try to convince them to put their stuff. They were doing dreamscapes, kind of like the Beatles Rock Band with Pink Floyd imagery. But the Pearl Jam one was actually kind of cool because it was more about Pearl Jam's live experience. So they actually were going to have live footage and bootlegs and from live concerts and in it and stuff. And they just talked about where all this stuff went wrong and named names and
so, everyone under the bus.
Yeah.
I think what it is, it's the changing dynamic of like how the game scene is changing. Because I mean, if you take a look, like panels like normally like the Gearbox one, which are normally high draw, people are
questionable
because you know, like, aliens don't say it. And you know, but you got Cards Against Humanity.
Like, it's that.
But then you have Cards Against Humanity panel, which is like filled up before the show even starts. You know? It's like you have these people who want to see like the stuff behind the panel, like the Rock Band one. He's right, but a lot of people are like, oh, they did this last year, but they don't see the real dynamic of what they're doing on certain panels. Like, I'm sure the Cliff Bleszinski Storytime one was a lot of fun.
I did a Bioshock one. It was them going, we did great with Elizabeth as a character.
You got a sticker, shut up.
We're going to pat ourselves on the back for an hour about how awesome we did with Elizabeth. It literally was supposed to be, the panel started off with the name of everything you want to know about Bioshock Infinite. And I was like, that's great.
And then it turned to all about Elizabeth.
Then I was scrolling down, it's like, Elizabeth's AI and
this is her running around the beach. Yeah, like, watch her play with this ball on the beach.
Yeah, it's like,
now walk over
now
here.
She's playing with yarn. Isn't she cute?
And now she's over a temple lake under the Pacific Ocean.
This is her walking up to a bush, pulling out a rose and putting it in her hair. And that was one of the smartest things that we've ever done. it was interesting, but you could tell everybody was there to see like sneak peeks of Bioshock and more talk on the game in general, not how you created the AI. Me as a programmer, I was like, now this is interesting. I looked at everybody around me and like people were bored as hell. I was like, all right.
Still think I say the highlight probably World of Capcom, DuckTales, everybody singing the song.
The song.
I love that song.
I would love Scrooge McDuck to
that
do
duck
a cover.
Is scandalous.
It's a little scandalous.
I know what you did there.
I like what you did there. High five.
Only if you get the tattoo, though.
I can't get permanent ink.
I already got one.
I know, so
I need to balance out.
I think Gene's too sensitive for that sort of stuff.
You're French, shut up.
German.
Another thing that was interesting to me, and it was actually pointed out to me by Jean-Baptiste when we were at the Married Gamers podcast yesterday, and I checked it out afterwards, was a game called Octodad, which is also in the indie
game.
And that is just ridiculously fun.
I was
kind of surprised that I didn't see it when they were here last year, because I spent a lot of time in the Indiecade as well, but I just missed it. But basically, you are an octopus pretending to be a human being, and your whole purpose in the game is to get through your daily life without being found out and
so
raising
suspicion.
So what,
you're a squid girl?
You're
not
a
squid
man.
Dad.
It's a
you're
squid,
squid
dad,
dad
basically.
Yeah,
he's all
yeah.
floppy and like.
Say, dad is a male.
Yeah,
I played that a little bit last year. I was like, I don't know.
Tentacle porn.
No.
Don't that's
go
not
there.
This podcast.
I am
that's
sure,
next week.
Yeah.
That's next week. But it was really fun because it's a physics game, and so it's greenlit on Steam, so it'll be coming out. They're hoping for before holiday, but you'll be able to play it on a Mac and a PC. They're also going to do a Linux port, so you'll be able to play it on Linux boxes as well, and probably get it into XBLA. And what's really interesting is that basically your squid moves like, you know, like remember those Racky Wallers that you would like get wet and stick on the wall and just watch them fall? That's how your character moves around. So you have the best of intentions of not bumping into things, but it's impossible for you not to bump into things, and that's what raises suspicion. So you really have to take your time and think about how you're going to move this squid in a suit through the grocery store and how you can maneuver the tentacle to actually grab the door to open it, because he moves like, you know, a drunk person. So it's like all over here, and it's all squid and tentacles sucking on things, and like the first mission that you play.
I told you, tentacles. She
needs to write theses on this stuff.
I have a dissertation on tentacles right now, but I'm not going to because it's early in the morning. But it was really interesting that like
you're trying to get through a box, and just as something as simple as grabbing a tie and putting it on takes 15 minutes of real concentration.
It does it for life, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me trying to get up this morning. I'm laying in bed. I'm like, I can't get
into
the
top. That was me.
Where's my clip-on?
That was me and my second deflated air mattress on the floor.
It's just so much fun, and the way that the style is done, and it's a little tongue-in-cheek, and it's done by Young Horses, and it was part of their studies final when they were in school for development, and so now they're releasing it after polishing it off some more, and they're releasing it as Octodad Dadliest Catch, and it's just adorable. So if you have a chance, you should definitely check it out, because it's really cute.
One other game I want to mention that's kind of ridiculously insane and kind of unexpected.
Happy Wheels.
Loco Cycle.
Yes!
We're talking about a cycle that, you know, it's plays like Spy Hunter with the shooting and everything, but then you do like melee moves with a chained Mexican dude on your behind, and you use him in the melee attack.
Yeah, there's a video interview of me interviewing Jay about Loco Cycle.
Somewhere. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we did it.
It's probably on your website somewhere.
Yeah, but I look prettier doing it.
Well, that's just a point of view. Anyway. But I like the motorcycle because it looks like a Dodge Tomahawk. And if you don't know what a Dodge Tomahawk is, look it up on Google. It is probably one of the craziest looking bikes out there. It has
I'm doing this right now. It has a Viper.
God damn it. Viper V10 engine in it, and it has dual wheels on it.
I tried to ride it at that after hours press party. I was like, can I ride it, Jay? He's like, well, leave her naked. I thought about it.
You can also find that on the website. No, but I mean, also, like, the voice work. You got, like, Robert Patrick, the T-1000 himself doing the bad guy, Spike. Yes. They got Lisa Foyles doing Iris, and then they got Freddy Rodriguez from Ryan House.
That video was funny.
Yeah.
This isn't called, dude.
This is called,
dude,
what?
In the video, there was a kitty pillow behind him. Did you see that? That made me laugh.
Well, I mean, those guys, it's great to see what they're doing with that, and then Miss Explosion Man and iPad, which will be nice.
Yeah, and Twisted Pixel is always impressed me.
And then the big news, Behemoth's finally releasing Battle Block after showing it like the last 4 years of PAX. Mm-hmm. Which is finally coming out, and they're happy.
They're all over the lanyards. So.
And no, do that, yeah.
I didn't even look at mine.
This podcast is brought to you by Battle Block Theater.
I'm wearing my eyewear.
Actually, no, they're not the ones from last year because they have 13 on them.
Ooh.
So they made new ones with the 3
took
on them.
They took the 2 off and like,
and then pasted off all these lanyards.
But it is good to see Battle Block finally getting released, and now they can work on Castle Crashers too, like I want them to.
Yes, we need another Castle Crashers.
And I will say the only other thing that was like disappointing for me, but not terribly, was that there was no hands-on anything for Watch Dogs. Like, I am so addicted to the game, I'm ready for it to be out, and I was really hoping that there'd be, like, just at least a quick few minutes, like, get hands-on and understand how the world works.
Well, thanks for the heads up.
But, you know, it was just presentation, which, don't get me wrong, the presentation sold me even more on the game, especially in talking about how the CTOS, which is basically the backbone of how the city works, mm-hmm. How that will be accessed by you as the player, was really cool, but I just wanted to touch it.
You know what? You were in Boston, you wanted to create car wrecks. Just admit it.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, that was kind of fun. Like, I want to fuck with the trains. I mean,
I mean, maybe take the subway.
I just
go off the rails, train. Go off the rails.
After I saw that in Dark Knight Rises, when the train comes through and fuck car wrecks, train wrecks are where it's at. That shit's destructive.
I just have one comment. I have one comment about Watch Dogs. It is totally the video game version of Psycho Pass, which is an anime that none of you guys have ever watched.
Tentacles?
No. No.
Not interested.
Hard pass.
What do I care? It's no, not Octo Curve. No. Which is the game I am making, surprisingly enough.
Going to start the Kickstarter now.
I'll
throw a dollar.
Oh, I'll give you all my dollars.
I need an artist who is obsessed with drawing tentacles.
She likes glitter.
She can use it in her thesis.
Hey!
I need visuals.
No, you don't.
Start liberating.
I'm going to get so many emails of tentacle porn that
room.
I'm going to have to sift through.
I'm going to have to look at all this porn.
Yep, I'm just going to have to do that.
Oh, I know your life is so hard.
It is so hard for me.
It's for science.
For science!
Oh, I need to drink for science.
The fact that my hand is down my pants, it's totally unrelated.
Well, it might be.
Gamers.
Yeah, it's not one of our podcasts until that happens.
Nope. It's hot. Now it is.
But I also like that, you know, we've got Watch Dogs on one end, and then you've got Saints Row 4 on the other. You know, you've got completely over above the top, not taking itself too seriously, and then kind of the more adult, grown-up version of basically the same game. I mean, it's all about city takeover and getting through the city and with your own agenda. But I think that it's really kind of balanced that, you know, you have these two ends of the pendulum, and people are equally excited about both.
Now, if only you like used the dubstep gun in Watch Dogs, that would be interesting.
I mean, here's the thing. I just want a dubstep gun. I don't want anything. I want a dubstep gun.
I don't think the NPCs of Watch Dogs would know how to pop and lock to a dubstep. So they might be like, what is...
There is that scene that takes place in the club that we saw in the first trailer for.
Yeah.
Well, all right, yeah. All right, so some of them will know how to dance, but yeah. All right, maybe.
What else you got?
You talked about all my stuff.
Well, stop having the same opinion.
Did anybody see
Splinter Cell? Well, we don't have the same opinion. We just have very similar opinions.
Splinter Cell? I mean, I don't know. I still don't like the fact that Michael Ironside's not in it. I'm still crazy about that.
I'm with you on that. It just felt like another Splinter Cell. Nothing really jumped out at me.
That's most of them for me now.
Yeah, I know. It's just like I do like the tag and shoot feature, but you know, I'd rather just shoot them.
Do you feel like Splinter Cell has become like James Bond now? It's just like it's been done.
I don't know what Splinter Cell, but I mean, having Nolan North in it, I just
they rehashed it so much. There isn't that far they can go with it anymore.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
They need to put a major new feature that would like
teenage Sam Fisher. He learns how to kill people in high school.
I might play that game. Shut up.
Come out of the locker and break someone's neck.
I don't like shit.
It's like Rockstar's Bully. It's like Rockstar's Bully, but except with Sam Fisher.
Splinter Cell.
He's up on the pipe
after
trying to get away from
after
the
bully. It's like Scorsese Red.
I'm filing the patent now, Ubisoft. Get in touch.
So many great ideas here.
Kickstarter starting now.
Imagine if we started independent game development. Hell yes.
Oh god, the games.
The games. All drunk.
It's
like you can't be a tester unless you're drunk.
And tentacle porn. And there shall be tentacles.
There be tentacles.
That is the underline to the game. Whatever it is, there shall be tentacles.
And you can unlock customization and have a Scrooge McDuck tattoo.
And we can have a porn party like that one we went to where there was no porn.
It could be an Easter egg of poop and boot.
Wait, there was no drinks. There were drinks.
All the drinks compared to like the other parties we went to that
were free drinks. But no nudity.
Hey, okay. Sad.
Wait. How do you go to a sugar DVD party and there's no nudity?
Wait, what?
That's not cool.
See, they had it in a culturized bar, so they couldn't get topless.
Why'd they go to a regular bar? Why not go to a seedy fucking bar? I want to see some
tits. I know. And they had a curtain up so that they could
see the
taken their clothes
the
off.
Yeah, but the thing is, okay, you're going to go in a bar, you're going to watch porn, you're going to go, yeah, that's great. You're going to, you really want people winking it in a bar? No, you don't.
Why?
No.
People
why not?
Do wink in a bar.
Why not?
That's what they say.
You're going to go porn.
You do realize you're in
porn. That's
why you're
coming up. That's why you didn't go to sugar DVD party. You don't have tentacle porn.
Fuck you. So we're building the game now. So the opening scene will be people behind a curtain at a porn party. There you go.
Yeah,
we're starting the Kickstarter.
That's
never mind the tentacle behind the curtain.
It's just beckoning you through the curtain.
We have comments.
No, don't worry about
that. It's an app. Link.
Where's this tentacle porn you speak of?
I heard tentacles on the show.
Where are they? I have something I could share.
If it's not a tentacle, then leave.
Oh, you like me.
No.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I'm riptide.
At one point during my adventures this week, I was over at the Jam Space, which is the music side of everything, and I was talking with the World of Square Band, and Those Who Fight, and a bunch of other people just hanging around with the bands. Cool. And they were playing their own game in the hallway to catch a predator, and one of the band members, a female, was dressed up as Cammy, and hiked up the back of her costume, so literally it's just all ass. And nice. she's facing away from the flow.
Don't please well, don't.
I don't know.
Don't. I have a picture of her incriminating Gabby. I'm not going to show it. Just find my Facebook link.
But anyway, so she's facing the wall, so people are walking by her ass. And everyone else, all the other band members, are just watching to see who's looking at her ass. It's like, dude in the green shirt, and she's like, dude, what the fuck? And like, and they're just catching people
That's
as funny. They're staring, and you know, and she was just commenting.
Was there like glass in between so people didn't like?
No, like they were all just kind of like, and one guy, seriously, I watched him, walked, staring at her ass.
That?
Went towards the man's bathroom, but turned around, and then came back for a double
pee. I would have walked up, and I would have stopped and just done that whole thicket man's pose.
No. Yeah, I would have done the iPhone thing, walked away, and...
No, one guy was like, I need to shake your hand, ma'am. And she's like, ma'am? But whatever. But yeah, so they were having fun over the jam stand.
See, she wasn't doing the ass thing. But,
they were having their own game fun over the jam feast.
Yeah. I do feel like there was more people. Like, both on Friday.
There were more darkies.
There were definitely more darkies. I counted up to 50. I was really excited.
I stopped counting after.
I was like, dude, I got 6. To 50, double digits. What's up?
I stopped after 6. I'm like, all right, that's enough.
Quitter.
Yep.
But I definitely feel like there were more people on Friday this year than last year. And Saturday definitely felt like it was full. You know, last year it felt like there were pockets where you could get away from the funk and be on the floor and not bump into people and that kind of thing. And so I was really excited to see that there were so many more
people.
That's
why I haven't played anything.
And it seems like there were more families and couples this year.
There were a lot of little children.
There was definitely a kid in one of the panels that I went, and they're like, is this an adult-only panel? And I know there was a kid, because they brought the kid up to get a question later. It's like, is this an adult-only question? And the guy on the panel just went, fuck you. We're off to a good start. Then at the end, a kid came up for Q&A, and it's like, we are so sorry. But we really don't care.
I saw a kid this morning wearing matching t-shirts, and the dad's chasing around behind the kid, all, like, all excited. The kid's clearly just having a blast, and he's there to support his kid, and I thought it was adorable, because I don't know.
You know what? The geek parents are the best parents.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm not
the ones to be like, what is this Pong game about?
I'm not going to bring my kids to PAX, because they annoy me.
Plus they get in the
but
way.
But I think it's cute when other people do it.
Yeah, yesterday I saw...
vicariously through that.
Yeah.
I saw a family that had dressed... The dad was dressed as Ash, the mom was dressed as Mitzi, and she had knitted or crocheted a Pikachu costume for their little daughter.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like... Parenting, you're doing it so right.
Yeah, they're cute people.
Yeah, and now that kid will turn 6 and be like, why was I a fucking Pikachu?
I want to be squared up.
It's like, what are times all the best times, Mom?
Charge! No playing with fire, kids.
No, sorry, Dark. Yeah. I like your duck theme.
I think between him doing Psyduck and him doing tentacle porn, we've had enough of that side of it.
Well, there was the whole thing with when I was at the Skull Candy booth and whatnot, they were like, hey, you gotta go and try out the Army of Two, and it ended up being the same demo that I ended up
playing. Oh, you mean Grid 2. Grid 2 is actually a really good demo.
I did play Grid 2. I was really excited about that. I was so happy, but yet, again, with the kids aspect, there was a kid that was like, I want to say 10... 12, he was probably about the same age as my nephew, and he just, like, came up and started, like, we were doing the co-op campaign and stuff like that.
And he whooped your ass.
My ass, you're on the same team.
He still kicked your ass.
That's how annoying he was.
He was doing all the work, you were standing there. Okay, which one?
Which?
He turned me like this, like, my back's hurt.
How
he's
carrying,
man.
Just one.
I've got this one in the corner if you got the rest, kid. Yeah.
All this carrying you is really starting to hurt my back.
I'm dressed like fucking Pikachu here.
But anyways, after we were done and whatnot, like, after we were finished playing and stuff like that, the kid gave me Knuckles and whatnot, and he turned around, and his dad was like, you guys did a really good job on that. And I went, holy shit, there's actually positive reinforcement for killing a bunch of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Good teamwork.
That's a good dad. That's
and this is how you reload a gun.
And then there was that.
Son, just press the right bumper.
Just the right bumper.
But you have to do it at the right time. You're going to take 10 more seconds to reload.
And then just push the right button for secondary weapon.
Don't dig this up. Don't. Oh, you screwed it up. No. No dessert.
No, son.
No dessert for you.
And this is why I take your sister gaming. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. I did that. That was me. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us today. We're just about at time. We've had a really great time at PAX. It was always wonderful meeting new friends, running into you guys, sharing the experience. You know, and that's the thing that I take away from PAX every year, every time I attend one, is that the community is really strong, it is really diverse, it is growing, and it is just so embracive of itself. Sorry. Did you really just go Valley right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
Like, I was having a moment, and then you just had to go.
Yep, she's flat line.
She doesn't have a boner hair, so.
Tentacle on your arm, or just happen to see me?
It's a tentacle.
That was the penetrator.
Octodad.
That's how we're gonna end it.
Yeah. Not with no, poop and a boob.
Not with poop and a boob.
Although, not with a Kickstarter link.
We started with poop and a boob. We're ending on the tentacles.
Remember to visit us at
www. I know.
I gotta do that.
That was a good. That's what she said.
Remember, it's penisland.com. Oh. I know, she just found that out. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
That is horrible.
But you can find us at www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where all of our articles can be found. You will find our podcast always at www.electricsisterhood.com. We are on iTunes. You can find us by using the iTunes desktop application, by searching for us on the iTunes podcast app on your iOS device or the Microsoft Store, by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button. Our podcast episodes typically go out on Mondays, brand new, but you can follow us up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast on Tuesday, as they are the testosterone to our estrogen. Follow that up on Wednesday with a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, held by our homeboy Deuces Wild. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues, he's got issues, join the Issues Guys on the Issues program, soon to be in the iTunes music store. And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, well, we're on Facebook, and that address is
Facebook.com/LandOfBash.
You can find us.
Please don't hit me. Facebook.com/LandOfBash.
Please don't hit me with the tentacle. You can find out and check out all the members that make up the Land of Esh by going to my page on Twitter, twitter.com/NindaSista, and checking out the Land of Esh list. You can follow all the news updates for what's going on with your favorite writers from ESH by going to twitter.com/...
What?
ESH News. Okay. I wasn't going to hit you. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to hit you.
I was terrorized.
Don't cry. We'll get tentacle later.
And it'd be nice and slimy and filled with suction cups.
That is just so
gross. Oh,
I told you. Because I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Vandal.
And we are out of here.
Thank God.